Good morning, everyone. Welcome this morning. A brisk morning, is it not, outside? Mrs. Thompson said this morning it's not fair. It didn't go to 82 to 42 just like that. I mean, it should gradually slide us into that, but so be it. Welcome to services here at Zion this morning. We will open our service with the singing of our opening hymn, Word of God Come Down on Earth.
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the October 17th worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in production of this broadcast are Bill and Diane Breen and Casey Jones. Brian and Pam Featon are sponsoring the flowers on the altar to the glory of God in memory of Brian's father, Robert Featon. Kent and Sarah Kleinschmidt are sponsoring the radio broadcast to the glory of God in thanksgiving for their many blessings. Our organist is Janet Estill. The opening hymn is number 545, Word of God Come Down on Earth, hymn number 545 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Let us rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And He forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers.
For they will soon fade like grass and wither like the green herb.
Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness.
Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart.
Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act.
He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday.
Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices.
Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil.
For the evildoer shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land.
In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there.
But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Be to God on high. Inspire us, God of the ages, by the lives of men of faith from ages past. Help us to learn from their witness, to honor their contributions to our heritage, and to consider their examples as we follow Jesus Christ, our leader and master, in this our generation. Through that same Jesus Christ who lives and reigns with the Father and the Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. Our theme this day is the Word of God endures for men. And our readings are attempting to reflect that. The theme of this is in the readings is meekness and what it means to be meek. And we'll see that Moses did not make use of his rights as someone who met with God face to face. The Apostle Paul did not make use of his rights as someone who was an apostle and had a right to make his living by the gospel. And we see that Jesus, when he deals with us, doesn't punish us as we deserve, and yet deals with us in mercy and grace. The Old Testament reading from Numbers chapter 12, beginning at the first verse. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married. For he had married a Cushite woman. And they said, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all people who were on the face of the earth. And suddenly the Lord said to Moses and to Aaron and Miriam, "Come out, you three, to the tent of meeting." And the three of them came out. And the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the entrance of the tent and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forward. And he said, "Hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak mouth to mouth, clearly, and not in riddles, and he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. When the cloud removed from over the tent, behold, Miriam was leprous like snow. And Aaron turned toward Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said to Moses, "O my Lord, do not punish us because we have done foolishly and have sinned. Let her not be as one dead whose flesh is half eaten away when he comes out of his mother's womb." And Moses cried to the Lord, "O God, please heal her, please." But the Lord said to Moses, "If her father had but spit in her face, should she not be shamed 7 days? Let her be shut outside the camp 7 days, and after that she may be brought in again." So Miriam was shut outside the camp 7 days, and the people did not set out on the march till Miriam was brought in again. And after that, the people set out from Hazeroth and camped in the wilderness of Paran. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The catechetical review. In regards to the table of duties, what does the table of duties say in regards to husbands?
Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives,
and treat them with respect as the weaker partner,
and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life,
so that nothing will hinder your prayers.
Husbands, love
your wives, and do not be harsh with them.
What does the table of duties say in regards to parents?
Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord.
The epistle reading from 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter. For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed, God is witness, nor did we seek glory from the people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you, while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Having heard the words of the true and living God, we confess our Christian faith to the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated for the singing of the hymn.
The sermon hymn is number 863, Our Father by Whose Name, hymn number 863 found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Thank you.
sermon text this morning from Numbers chapter 12, the third verse. Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all people who are on the face of the earth. Thus far the words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, today's topic of God's Word Endures for Men is just as fraught with landmines and danger as was last week's topic of the sermon. And one of the reasons for that is, you know, when we use a topic like this, there's such a wide variety of personalities and people. So we have to take the pieces that apply to us as individuals, listen to them and apply them to ourselves. Will we speak in generalities? Yes. Yes, we will speak in generalities. Generalities from which each person or man must take and apply to their own life. The basic topic for today is meekness. I've always kind of been fascinated with this word and what it means and what its definition is. Meekness, or a disposition with which each man ought to strive to adopt to himself. However, unfortunately, as most of us know, meekness is not in fallen humanity's character, right? Manliness, well, that's important. Strength of body, exerting oneself over another, posturing, whether it's in the family or whether it's in the work world or wherever it might be, that is seemingly more the order of the day. Exerting oneself over another is more the order of that testosterone coursing through your body as a man. I remember my dad telling me when I was a kid, was playing, you know, soccer in high school, and he said, "Look, Mark, and this will shock you." He said, "Look, Mark, you're the smallest guy on the field." Right, shocker, right? Okay. And he says, "You're the smallest guy in the field. So what you need to do is when you're going after a ball early in the game, you need to hit the other guy as hard as you can. Take the penalty early. But the next time it happens, he's going to be more afraid of you." Well, I can tell you what, it works. It actually works. Hit them early, hit them hard, and hit them first. And when it comes to that 50-50 ball, right, generally they'll back down. And it only led to a couple fights and maybe one ejection from a game. But I think that ejection was in summer league, or maybe it was in a fresh soft game. I can't remember. But, you know, it kind of works. However, you have to remember that might work on the athletic field, but it doesn't really work well with your wife, your kids, your customers, your relatives, or pretty much any other interpersonal relationship that you and I have in the world. But men, yes, men, we do tend to be confrontational creatures. Martin Luther, in his treatise on whether soldiers too can be saved, wrote to government leaders, the princes in this case. He said, "Take my advice, dear lords. Stay out of war unless you have to defend and protect yourselves, and your office as lord compels you to fight. Then let war come. Be men and test your armor. Then you will not have to think about war to fight. The situation will be serious enough." And then he goes on to use a description of people who seek out conflict, seek out battle, seek out fighting. He calls them nail biters or iron eaters, you know, tough guys, right? He says, "The situation will be serious enough in the teeth of the wrathful, boasting, proud men who chew nails. The iron eaters will be so blunt that they will be scarcely able to bite into fresh butter." Right? Translation, pretty much what Teddy Roosevelt said. Walk softly and carry a big stick. Right? Don't fight unless you have to fight, but when you do, be ready to fight. Right? Right? Being gentle, being meek, right, is not a man's natural disposition. A man generally tends, because of his fallen nature, to want to rule with an iron rod. Now, I don't know how many of you gentlemen out there have sons that you wrestled with when they were little, but you can see this in a small boy, right? If you're wrestling with your son, right, you can see at a very young age that cloud come over his face, and he gets very angry and starts to take a swing at you, which is when you have to grab his hand, you know, and tell him, no, we're playing, we're wrestling, we're not fighting. And you have to teach him how to behave and how to manage that anger. And in those wrestling matches, you may have turned your back on your son, and a six-year-old juggernaut nails you in the kidneys when you're not looking, right? Because boys do that. They're built differently. They're put together differently than the young ladies are. That's why men ought to wrestle with their sons, so that they learn to channel aggression and channel anger. But what is this thing called meekness? It is an inwrought grace of the soul. And first and chiefly, its focus is in our relationship with God. It's a temper of your spirit that accepts God's dealings with you as good, so that you don't dispute with God and you don't argue with Him or resist Him. Right? The meekness that is focused first on God is also a disposition in the face of other men, even evil people, right? Slanderers. In that a meek person sees a slander or insult as a means by which God chastens and purifies His own. King Philip of Macedon in Greece many, many centuries ago recognized this when his friends said to him, "You ought not to let others slander you." And he replied, "They are doing me a service, for by slandering me, they teach me to be on guard that their slander might not become true." And the Greek philosopher Xenocrates is also reported to have said when slandered, "That man has not learned any better, but I have learned to bear reproach." I want you to think of Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ. Who is He? Who and what is Jesus? He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God of Gods. He is the Word of creation made flesh. He is the Son of the Father, the ruler of wind and waves. He is the shaper of the cosmos. Thursday's Lutheran Hour Ministries devotion said this of Jesus, this Jesus who did not consider equality with God something to be clung to, but instead took on human flesh, right? What did this Jesus do? He was the one who lived in need. He was born in a family that at the time he was born couldn't provide for him anything better than a feeding trough as a cradle. As a child, he was a refugee in Egypt. As an adult, he was homeless. When he suffered and died on our behalf, even his clothes were taken from him, and he hung naked on a cross. He was laid in a borrowed tomb. This is the Son of God. This is the Son of God who could have asked, and his Father would have given him 10 legions of angels to come down and protect him. Instead, he chose not to make use of his rights as God, right? Even to the point of saying, in submission to his own Father's will, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And so it must be clearly understood that the meekness displayed by the Lord and the meekness that is commended to the believer is really the fruit of power. The common assumption is that when a man is meek, it's because he can't defend himself. That's not true. The Lord Jesus is meek because he has infinite resources at his command, and he does not abuse that authority. A meek man has right. A meek man has authority, but chooses not to strike. Meekness is the opposite of self-assertiveness and self-interest. Meekness is an evenness of mind, a calmness of temper, and self-possession. It is a spirit that is neither overly elated nor overly cast down, precisely because it is not occupied with itself at all, but is concerned about the others around him. What did we learn of Moses? The man Moses was very meek, more than all the people on the face of the earth. When his brother and his sister were both jealous of him and slandering him, what did Moses do? He kept his mouth shut. Right? In our language, what would we say? We say it like this, don't we? We say, think before you speak. Stop and consider before you hit send. That's what we would say. Moses, on the other hand, was very meek. He didn't speak out in his own defense. He was willing to subordinate himself to others. He swallowed insults in silence. Of course, this was a learned behavior for Moses, wasn't it? He learned in the school of hard knocks. Don't you remember the first effort of Moses to be on his people's side, to show that he was for them, that he was going to do for them what needed to be done, right? And free them from bondage. What did he do? He killed a man. And more than likely, Moses beat the man to death. He ran from Egypt and was exiled in Midian. And in the long hours keeping watch over his father-in-law's sheep, he came to the realization, I would imagine, that by such force a man would bring no deliverance to his people. By such violence, deliverance would not happen. And perhaps knowing that such a potential for rage existed inside of him, Moses was fearful of returning to Egypt. And yet the God of Abraham overcame Moses' objections, knowing that the years of exile had provided Moses the time to come to terms with himself and be the man that God wanted him to be. Powerful, and yet at the same time, patient. Think of what God said of Moses. Remember, God was talking to Miriam and Aaron. God said this of Moses. You know what? If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak with him in a dream. But not so with my servant Moses. With Moses, I speak with him face to face, mouth to mouth, clearly, and not in riddles. And Moses beholds the form of the Lord. You know, Moses could have claimed that right. He could have looked at his brother and sister and said, I talk to the Lord face to face, so you get out of my face and you shut your trap, you understand? But Moses didn't do that. He was quiet and let the Lord speak for him. He took it on the chin, and God did speak for him. And so too with St. Paul when he spoke to the Thessalonians. St. Paul says, we were gentle and we were meek among you. We came among you not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. We came not with flattery. We came not with a pretext for greed nor a desire for glory, even though, and here it is, we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. They had right. They had authority. They could have made demands. But what did they not do? They did not do those things. Instead, what did they do? Paul says, look, we labored among you. We worked day and night. Even though they had the right to earn their living from the gospel, they sewed tents. And while they worked as worker priests, they contended for the gospel against false teachers. And then there's Jesus. What is his disposition towards you? It's the one for all men to emulate. Take my yoke upon you, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. One would expect a harsh God who rails at our sin. Right, and just this morning, as I was sitting here, the idea popped into my head, right? That thing that probably all parents say, that no child has ever in their wildest imaginations ever believed, ever, which is, just tell me the truth and you won't get in as much trouble. I don't think any kid in the world believes that. Right? But what is Jesus saying to us? Come to me in confession. Tell me the truth. Confess your sins to me. And He means it when He says you won't get in as much trouble. He means it when He says, take my yoke upon you. Take my forgiveness upon you. Because my burden is light. What He's speaking about is confession and absolution and the forgiveness of your sins. We approach our Savior in such a way. Not in fear of Him, but in trust that He is going to lift that burden and not punish us as our sins deserve. People of all times and all places fall short of what God intends them to be and what God expects them to be. You know why? Because life in a fallen world is a hard life. And to all those who have been granted insight into their sinful and needy condition, Jesus offers words of comfort and rest. Rest for this life and rest for the next life that is to come. Learn from Jesus that He is gentle and He is humble. What does that mean? It means that Jesus receives and forgives all who come to Him, needing the forgiveness of their sins. In this, Jesus' rest is found. His rest is forgiveness. All those who come to Jesus' unparalleled authority and power with only their sins in their hands, it is there that they find a Savior. And not a Savior who's going to cream them, but a meek Savior. A Savior who lifts their burden off of them and carries it Himself. He saves because of His own humility of heart. And it is that humility of heart that led Him to the cross and to the tomb and then out of the tomb on Easter. Gentlemen, meekness is about having power. It is about having authority, even God-giving authority. And it is about choosing to exercise self-control and have an even temperament. And families, when it comes to your sons, to your husbands, to your brothers, and to your dads, just remember, it will only take a lifetime for them to cultivate meekness. So be patient with them. Be forgiving of them. And live with them in love. And for us all, male, female, in all of our interpersonal relationships, encourage each other and work at living in peace with one another. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Let us now rise for the singing of the offertory.
You have been sharing in the morning worship of Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or on Facebook Live or on the Internet at www.zlclinc.org. Zion services are also available on cable channel 5 and on the LCTV app on your smartphone on Sundays at 10 and 5 and on Wednesdays at 5. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact the school office at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.
Let us rise for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, you reveal yourself to us as maleness, and the first man, Adam, was created to reflect you. And though we are scarred and bent by the fall into sin, we humbly ask that the males of our congregation, both the youth and the mature, grow to reflect you more and more, being strong in faith and meek in disposition. Forgive us of our sins as sons and brothers and husbands and fathers, leading our loved ones, O Lord, to forgive us too. Grant, O God, that we each be men after your own heart. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Gracious Creator, each child comes with the message that you are not yet finished with humanity. Bless with your presence all women with child. Comfort them in their pregnancy. Strengthen them with your love. Bear them up through their husbands and give them joy at the new life they are bringing into the world. We also pray for Kinley Ray as she prepares for her heart catheterization. Thank you, O God of our fathers, for surgeons and technology and all that helps our mortal frame. Thank you also for Kinley's joyful spirit that helps her endure the trials she has in her life. And may all your gifts combine this week to a successful procedure for Kinley. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Lord Jesus Christ, you gather the lambs of your flock into your arms and you bring them home. In your wisdom, you have seen fit to call Ruth Opperman to the place in heaven that you have prepared for her. And now we pray you to comfort Ruth's family in their grief. Comfort them with baptismal promises and the sure and certain confidence of the resurrection of your sons and daughters when you return in glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
God of the nations, hear us as we pray for our country and pray for us as we are in turmoil. You have placed us under authority, and we pray that we would be obedient citizens. As such, we ask your blessings upon President Biden and Governor Pritzker, that they may guide us according to your will. And where the leaders of our country defy your will, please bring them to repentance and reform. If they will not listen, execute your judgment through their being voted out of office. Grant, O God, that we ever remain your people and your nation. All this we ask in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue now with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Thank you.
favor of the Lord.
Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen.
Let us rise. He is good. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is number 504, Father Most Holy, hymn number 504 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Please be seated. I see Mr. Sheely standing up. Is there an announcement from Mr. Sheely about the 150th anniversary?
Yeah. Anybody hasn't received one of the booklets yet, I'll be handing them out at the end of church back here. And just want to let everybody know about that. We've got still ones that we got back from the printer, so if anybody hasn't received a copy yet, we've got
so, one per family, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Megan, I see you there.
If any members would like any of the tickets for the cold horse potato, my kids are selling them right out here, so I have about 9 tickets, so first come, first serve this week, but I can get you more. If any of the other science kids have their tickets today, hit them up as well.
And that's for the Zion Lutheran Challenge Committee fundraiser, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Tonight or today, 2 to 4, I believe. Did I get that right? 2 to 4 is the open house, community open house for our building and archival display. So if anybody would like to come back and see that again, please feel free and welcome to do that. This evening is for youth group here at the church. We won't be in the auditorium. We'll meet upstairs in the youth room for the senior high youth. It's a Christian formation and game night, so little scripture study, and then some board games after that, and that's from 6 to 8 tonight. Next Sunday, October 24th, is a servant event. Basically, the kids, junior high and senior high, from 2 to 4, are going to paint pumpkins, and then we'll be taking them to our shut-in members to deliver as a decoration for them. And that time is 2 to 4 p.m. here at the church, and we'll be meeting next Sunday, 2 to 4 p.m., downstairs in the Sunday school opening room for that. And that's junior high and senior high both. Also, the elders wanted me to announce that they can't be the mask police, okay? So you're going to have to do what you do and what's in service to your neighbor. Some of you will continue wearing your mask because of your jobs and what you do for a living. Some aren't wearing them. We're not going to make people wear it. But each person be respectful of everybody else. And as far as communion, we're going to keep wearing the people distributing communion will keep wearing our masks for distribution of communion. Matt was up here. He went to put his on, and the earpiece just sprung right off on him. So he shoved it in his pocket real quick. But let's be generous with one another. But if you want to wear your mask, please do. If you don't, you don't. So may the Lord bless all of you, your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.